All day today, we've been hearing about the stimulus program for small businesses, the Paycheck Protection Program, and how it's run out of money already. And Congress is at odds right now over how they're going to add more funds and how they're going to allocate funds. Joining me now is Kevin Boehm. He's the founder, along with his business partner, Rob Katz, of Boca Restaurant Group. It's not a small restaurant or operation. It's one of the more successful and larger ones here in Chicago. You've probably eaten at one of his restaurants. There's Boca, Girl and the Goat, Momotaro, ton of them. GT Fish and Oysters, 23 different spots, different experiences that you can have. But I wanted Kevin to join us today because I was scrolling through Instagram and I read this post. I'm not going to read all of it, but I'm going to start with the part that really got me. And he wrote, "The PPP loan is a disaster. It was not written with extended closures in mind, and its language and ambiguity have left chefs and operators feeling confused and hopeless. At its best, it's a band-aid that leaves restaurants saddled with debt on a short-term loan without a fix. It will close many and leave our hardworking teammates unemployed. When you look at what has been done for the airlines with specific funding for their industry, it's hard not to feel ignored and alone. The crazy thing is we employ 11 million people and the airlines employ 750,000. I'm hopeful by nature, but yesterday I struggled. I was the kid on the stairs. I know there are people in much worse situations and it breaks my heart. We're all in this together. I'm tired of being a spectator at a Pelosi-McConnell cage match. We need action now, not politics. Today, we keep fighting. Fix the PPP." So I thought, who better to have on today than Kevin Boehm to talk about what needs to happen. Hi, Kevin. How are you?
How you doing? By the way, so they can. You said the kid on the stairs. The reference was I posted a picture of me at the opening of Belena, and I was crying on the stairs.
Yes, you were.
Isn't that sad?
About a problem that you wish was your biggest problem now, right?
I know. I was a grown man at that point. I was 42 years old at that point, crying on the stairs. And that's sad. I wish that was my biggest frustration right now.
Well, I know. You know, if you're listening right now and you're thinking Kevin and his partner, you know, they have 23 different spots under this umbrella. Well, it didn't start off that way. Kevin's a self-made man. You guys really built up from nothing. And, you know, imagine that you're in this state. Imagine what it's like for just a single, you know, mom and pop restaurant, a really small entity.
Yeah, I have a really good memory. So my very first restaurant was a six-table restaurant that I started. I saved money bartending and serving, and I saved up enough money in 1992 to open up my very first little restaurant. Mm-hmm. And I've seen some hard times. That was hard. Right after September 11th in Nashville was really difficult. The 2008 financial crisis was bad. I think when you join this business, you know it's going to be tough. You know, to invoke the Godfather, this is the business we've chosen.
Yes.
but what's happening right now is nothing anybody could have expected. We're collateral damage to this whole thing. And it's funny, somebody used the word bailout with me today. And I was really clear with them. I said, it's not a bailout. We didn't do anything wrong. We're mandated to close. And all we're asking for right now is the ability to reopen. And, you know, the world's most generous industry, in my opinion, needs some generosity back. And some sense of urgency. You know, I live in a world that's built on sense of urgency. When you sit down at the table, you have an expectation from the time you place that order that your first course is going to come in 12 minutes. Mm-hmm. And a lot of things have to happen for that to come to your table. DC doesn't have a sense of urgency right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that started with the fact that DC had very little context for our business. You mentioned it before with the airlines. We've been underrepresented in DC for years. I mean, you look at the airlines that employ 750,000 people. Our ecosystem, when you take farmers and you take the supply people and you put all those people together, winemakers, 16.1 million people in our ecosystem,
mm-hmm.
And they got a standalone bill and we didn't.
Well, you're hearing. Go ahead.
It's a huge problem. We need to be better represented. We are 4% of the GDP, and we're the second largest employer in America besides the federal government.
And the ramifications of you being closed, as you mentioned, are just very wide reaching. I mean, you're just hearing about all of the fresh produce and that's being destroyed right now, all the dairy being destroyed. Of course, that's businesses and schools that are also closed, but in large part because restaurants are closed.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. The amount of people that we touch on a daily basis, and when you start to think about it from, you know, and these are all people that are in my life. Mm-hmm. From food writers to PR people in the wine world to liquor distributors. I mean, these are my people too. And so there's so many people out there that are hurting right now.
So Kevin, for you, you decided that you weren't going to try to attempt to do takeout or delivery.
Well, you know what? So there's a story there, and I think I have to back up a little bit because at the very beginning, we wanted to see what was going to happen. We knew it was dangerous out there. We said, you know what, you know, let's sit back and be safe. And I think there are some people out there that figured it out really, really well, that had proper SOPs and they were able to bring people in and be safe. But you know, we said for right now, let's just sit back and see what happened to make sure that all of our employees are safe and all the people are safe. So that's where it started. And then you apply for a PPP loan. And what you realize very, very quickly is, you know, and to understand a PPP loan, you can borrow money based on 2.5 times your monthly payroll of one of your restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get approved, 10 days from that approval, your clock starts ticking on an 8-week period where your payroll and your rent could be forgiven. But in order for that to happen, you have to bring back your employment back to 100% of the full-time equivalency in that same period last year. Well, that's pretty hard to do. One, if you're not open, it's impossible. And two, if you're only doing takeout, that's almost impossible. So even when we did try to do takeout, mm-hmm. so we started looking at all the restaurants and said, okay, well, maybe we do takeout at a few restaurants. The problem was that with the federal unemployment sweetener and the state unemployment, And God bless them, the people are getting so well taken care of at this point that most of them would rather stay out than come back to work. So it's really difficult to get back to 100% full-time employment because most people are just going to sit out at this point.
So it makes more sense for your employees to be laid off.
It does. Well, I think they look at it and listen, and God bless them. You look at it and you say, okay, I don't want to put myself in harm's way. And I'm getting this enhanced, you know, $600 a week from federal and 47% of what I was making on state. And a lot of people just don't want to come back to work. And that's absolutely their choice. But the way they wrote the bill makes it almost impossible for us to turn this loan into a forgivable loan.
Uh-huh.
And so all that ends up happening is you try to open up, most of it becomes a loan, and the loan, gee, is termed out in 2 years.
That's a short time.
Short time. All you ended up doing was putting debt on your balance sheet. So it appears to be help, but it's a mirage. It's a disguise. And under the veil is just a loan with debt.
And adding debt to a balance sheet with very small profit margins.
That's right. So all they really need to do to clean this whole thing up, to make it okay for everybody, because you want everybody to be happy. I want the employees to be taken care of. I want the restaurants to stay open so the employees still have a job. And finding the intersection of all those things is really difficult. But if they just added a clause that says the 8 weeks on your clock doesn't start until the mandate to close is lifted and we can open fully. If they would just write that, mm-hmm. seems very simple, right?
Yeah.
And incredibly logical.
Well,
why can't that just be put in the bill? Then, when we can open fully and bring all of our employees back, then the whole thing makes sense.
Well, we're going to talk about how you've been trying to get this message, and just this caveat, this is what you want changed, how you've been trying to get this message through an incredible national coalition that you helped build. We're going to talk about that, how you're trying to get this message to D.C. and our politicians on both sides of the aisle. You're trying to get this message to them. We're going to talk about that coming up. Talking with Kevin Boehm, he's the founder of the Boca Restaurant Group. You've probably eaten at one of his 23 different restaurants, including Girl and the Goat. Kevin, what you were saying just now makes a ton of sense. You just basically need the clock on the 8 weeks to start when you open back up.
It sounds totally logical, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And so have you tried to reach out to the politicians and tell me about the this coalition that you helped build?
Yeah, so the Independent Restaurant Coalition was started by Will Guidara in New York and Andrew Chasen and from CAA and Tom Colicchio. And very early on, myself and Rob and our good, good friend Donnie Medea from One Off Hospitality, we're all contacted to join this, and we came out very early. With the idea being, if we unified all of our voices, that we could get a lot accomplished because we were underrepresented. And then, you know, Kwame Onwuachi joined, and Ashley Christensen joined, and Naomi Pomeroy joined, and we got this great group of diverse, intelligent, incredible operators who all had great different contacts. And yes, we have been able to reach out, and I think that we have been able to shape part of this bill. The only problem was by the time that we formed, they had already mostly written this bill, mm-hmm. the PPP. And at the time, they thought this was only going to be like a 3-week problem.
Right.
So they thought that it was like, we're going to open by Easter, no problem. So that whole 8-week thing wouldn't have mattered. They build a boat in a hurry, and that boat has a ton of holes in it. And so what we're trying to do now is, A, get the clause added. It seems so simple, but, you know, there's so much politics that go on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you mentioned my post earlier. I said McConnell-Pelosi cage match. You know, it really is the case that nobody wants to move unless they can get something from the other person. And meanwhile, we're sitting out here dying. Mm-hmm. And it's incredibly frustrating. And, you know, yesterday I hit a wall with it all. Because you just want for control freaks, this is their worst nightmare. Well, because he can't control anything right now.
Well, you mentioned the 8 weeks caveat, but also, are you hoping also that they allocate a certain portion of this next round of money that they have to decide on to restaurants specifically?
Absolutely. So the second thing we need is a stabilization fund in 4.0. So what we're working on right now is they've run out of money in PPP, and it's frustrating for so many people. You know, I talked to operators today. You know, I was on the phone with Joe Frillman this morning from Daisy's, which is a great restaurant here in Chicago, mm-hmm. who doesn't even know if he was going to get his money, and then found out today that they ran out of money. They're going to have to add more money to that fund for sure. So that's going to happen in the short term. So what we're hoping for is that we can get this clause added in the short term. But right now they can't agree on anything. So some days I'm optimistic, G, and some days are like yesterday when I wanted to put my head through a wall. And then the other part of it, that stabilization fund, is when they come back in session. When they're back in session on the 22nd, and we get to talk about new things, and hopefully in 4.0, we can get our own fund that independent restaurants can get their hands on, that small operators can get their hands on, and that is not more debt for us, mm-hmm. that these are grants that help restaurants. You know, I always say this, that great cities, great neighborhoods were built on the backs of great restaurants. They're defined by it. The entire city of New Orleans is just defined by its food. Look how West Loop was built around the Publican and Girl and the Goat, mm-hmm. and all these restaurants at Ocheval, and all these restaurants that sprung up, and that whole neighborhood was built around it. Without restaurants, our city changes, our society changes, the way that we commune and connect with people changes. And I know everybody understands this. Well, except for maybe Washington.
Well, it's so shocking for me because I think emotionally it's such a, you know, it's a double punch for you guys because, one, you're in the industry of hospitality. Your life's work is to take care of people, and you're not able to do that. Your life's work is definitely not about being socially distant, so you're cut off from that. And then on top of that, you're always giving back throughout the year. there's so many charity events where restaurants, big and small, are giving of their own time, their energy. They have one off day usually a week, which is Monday or Sunday, and they're usually at a charity event volunteering their own product and time and energy to help out a charity in need. And that's why it's so important, I think, that we show up for you, you know, this time. You know, for a restaurant group of your size, I'm guessing that you're going to have a little bit more time to stay in this limbo, obviously, than a restaurant that's just a single owner, small restaurant and not in a restaurant group.
No, 100% true. And I'm grateful for that. But I don't care if you're a six table restaurant in, in Ames, Iowa, or if you're Danny Meyer. At a certain point, with there's no cash flow coming in, you can't survive anymore. Even for us, you know, you looked at, you know, when we decided that we were going to have to shut everything down, you know, and restaurants operate on cash flow. And so you instantly look and you're like, okay, we have a payroll coming up. We're going to have to pay everybody an extra week to properly shut down all the restaurants, take inventory, do all that stuff. People are going to request PTO, paid time off, all that accrued time off. You're going to want to pay for everybody's insurance, which we did through April and we did through May. And then you have all your accounts payable and you have rent coming up in April. And for us, that was almost $4 million.
Wow.
We didn't have $4 million sitting in the restaurant bank.
You didn't?
You know, so, no, we just didn't have $4 million sitting there. Is that amazing? So even for us, it was like, okay, well, we have to make some decisions here. We have to figure this out. And, it was painful. And fortunately, yes, you know, I've been a restaurant owner for 30 years. So, you know, you build certain things up. Now, there are many times during my career, including like the financial crisis in 2008, 2009, we barely made it.
Right.
Barely made it by the skin of our teeth. We had Boca and Landmark and Perennial at that time. Business dropped off a cliff and we barely made it. You know, it was really rough. If we were in a different position right now, yeah, we would only last for a couple more weeks.
And is that what you're hearing?
I talked to a lot of people.
Yeah, tell me what you're hearing, especially from mom and pop restaurants and just one-offs, you know?
I probably have talked to, I don't know, 100 different operators in the last 4 or 5 days. You know, there's so many people talking and sharing ideas, and there are a lot of people who was counting on the PPP or the EDIL, the EIDL loans, you know, for a life preserver, just to get them through like this next 30 days, 45 days, 60 days. And, you know, it's ugly out there. You know, I think that people are really, really worried, and the government needs to step up now. I hear the fear in people's voices, and I know this. I know if we're on the brink of disaster, then it's got to be much worse for a lot of other people, and it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. I this is all I've done my entire life,
and then
is be in this business.
Do you feel, how does that make you feel? Juxtaposed to that is you hear about Ruth's Chris, a giant chain, getting a huge loan.
Yeah. Doesn't make sense, does it? It doesn't make sense. You know, I think what the problem that happened with the PPP loans is that banks did prioritizing, and they prioritized by debt first, and then second, they went to people who had credit cards with them, and then third, they went to people that just had deposit accounts with them.
Got it.
And because of that, it went big to small, and there was no SBA or government guidance on how they had to do that. So the banks were making the decisions. Now, if you were with a small regional bank, you did so much better than being with a big bank in almost all cases that I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm. We've been hearing that too. So that's something to also be considered in this next round of funding as well.
It is. It's like, let's how do you get the money to the people that actually need it?
So
anytime you do something like this, there's people that's going to abuse the system.
So what's our call to action as somebody that wants to support restaurants, independent restaurants? What can we do? I know that you have this coalition, this independent restaurant coalition, but what can we do to help?
You need to find out who your representative is, who your senators are, and you can write them a letter. You can go to saverestaurants.com. It's got our position on there. It's got the things that we need. But if you can write to those people and say, and this really does make a difference. I think that people look at that and say, oh yeah, my letter really going to make a difference. It absolutely does. They listen to their constituents. They listen to voters. And you can go and say, please add a clause to restaurants that their 8-week period starts when they can reopen fully.
Mm-hmm.
And help them add a stabilization fund in 4.0. Those two things are on our site, saverestaurants.com, and it can really help us.
And talk about a double whammy for you, talking with Kevin Boehm. He's the founder of the Boca Restaurant Group. You just had an article published at Esquire magazine, and it's entitled, I furloughed 1,800 employees the day after my mom died. So you have really been through the ringer.
It's been a rough road. A month ago, 2 days ago, March 14th, my mom passed away. April. Gosh, I don't even know what time it is anymore. Yeah, March 14th.
None of us do. None of us know what day it is.
My mom had pancreatic cancer. She fought it for a long time. And one night she called me and just said, you know, I've been going back and forth. And she said, Kev, you're never going to make it in time. The angels are calling me. I'm going home and I love you. And I jumped in my car. I drove 110 miles an hour to Springfield and I made it in time. And she really thought she was going to go at that point, but she ended up holding on because she was so strong. She was ready to go, but her body wasn't. In eight days, I stayed down there. And while I was down there with her, this was starting to develop. And so I was, on the phone with my partner. But the day she passed is the day that we decided we had to close all the restaurants. It was the most difficult time of my entire life. My mom was an amazing woman. She's a lot different than me. I'm very outgoing and gregarious. She's a woman of few words. I laugh sometimes. Her entire sex conversation with me as a teenager was, once you fire the gun, you can't retrieve the bullet.
It was effective. A woman of little words, but innate strength and gravitas with that succinct statement.
She's a very strong woman, and she would have been one of the people that I would have consulted and talked to during this whole thing. It's been rough, but I'm trying to do good things and think of her at the same time and push my grief into purpose and do the best I can.
Well, Kevin, our hearts go out to you. We're thinking about you and everybody else in the restaurant industry, whether big mom and pop shop or big and small, everybody that works front of the house, back of the house, thinking about all of you. And go to saverestaurants.com/letter. Be sure to be in touch with your representatives to help out with their ask here for the next round of money that goes out to bail out small businesses. Thank you so much, Kevin, for being with us. Really appreciate it. And you take care, okay?
Thank you, Ju. We truly are one industry, one love, one voice. We're all in this together, and I'm rooting for everybody to come back better than before.
We certainly will, and we're going to be thinking about you till then, okay? Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you for having me, Ju.
Kevin Boehm, founder of Boca Restaurant Group.